Good morning. If you've got your bulletin for today, and we're looking at the in our centering prayer or thought, I didn't read that same one. I was sat down and was looking at the bulletin, and I didn't remember the music as that which I picked out for this week. And so I looked at the date, and I was using last week's bulletin. So I'll let you read that meditation on your own. Welcome to worship. Welcome as we come together to be in God's presence. Welcome as we hear God's word, as we pray, and as we sing. May our hearts and our spirits be not only touched, but revived and energized for the week that is to come. If you would, there's a red pew pad on the inside of each pew. If you would sign that and pass it down, we would appreciate that. I want to let you know that the flowers that are in the front here this morning were left by the Blackman family in honor of Bill. Also, the baptismal font is in the center this morning. We will be receiving two new members, and when we do that, we remember that our foundation, that which centers, that which draws all of us together, is the baptismal font. I'm going to remind you that the community meal is going to be this afternoon. There's some meetings and gatherings scheduled through the week. Please take a look at those. And I'll let you read the announcements. Is there anything that anyone would like highlighted for the congregation? All right. Then would you turn to, in the black hymnal, to 2073, Celebrate Love. Bring your gifts, bring your hopes, bring your dreams, bring your prayers, bring your praise. And will you turn in the red hymnal to number 98, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
As we gather, nourish us with your presence, bread of life. As we worship, fill us with springs of faith, living water. As we learn, inspire us with the holy wisdom, eternal spirit. Help us recognize our gifts and discern how best to share them for the healing of your world. Amen. You may be seated. In the reading from Ephesians today, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, this is Paul's prayer for those who, for the first the people at Ephesus and now for all Christians, for those who hear it, those of us who are believers, those who want to grow in our relationship with Christ. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
In today's world, life seems to be throwing so much at us. It becomes overwhelming. As I was facing another day like this, a few words of a song kept going around in my head, and I knew I'd heard it, but I wasn't sure. And thanks to the internet, I could put the words in, and I came up that it was an old Johnny Cash song I heard many years ago, and I found it to be very helpful. Yesterday when I came home, I was just about ready to scream. My work's been driving me crazy, and the bills are burying me. The weight of the world was on me, I was sinking like a stone. But I have come to realize I can't do it on my own. I'm gonna put it into God's hands, start living on God's plans. Gonna do the best I can, that's all I can do. Ooh, I'm gonna put away my doubts. Somehow it'll all work out, and I can rest easy now that I put it into God's hands. My mama always told me, you can't live by bread alone. You gotta have faith in the good Lord's grace and keep on keeping on. Accept the things that you can't change and change the things you can. And if you ever catch yourself worrying, just put it into God's hands. I'm gonna put it into God's hands. Start living on God's plans. Gonna do the best I can, that's all I can do. Gonna put away my doubts, somehow it'll all work out. And I can rest easy now that I put it into God's hands. I'm gonna put it into God's hands, start living on God's plans. Gonna do the best I can, that's all I can do. I'm gonna put away my doubts, Somehow it'll all work out, and I can rest easy now that I put it into God's hands. I said I'm gonna put it into God's hands, start living on God's plans, gonna do the best I can. That's all I can do. Gonna put away my doubts. Somehow it'll all work out. And I'm gonna rest easy now that I put it into God's hands. I put it into God's hands.
Well, that was the sermon. From John's Gospel, we hear the feeding of the 5,000. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He was doing this to test him, for Jesus himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the word of God. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the word. Is there a special prayer or a passage of scripture that has great meaning in your life? Something that you turn to in times of trouble, in times of need, something that you turn to in joyful times, in times of celebration. Maybe some of you will have gone to those that I'm going to relate to now. In Romans, we are reminded that there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God that we know in Christ. Also in Romans, and we know that in all things, God works good for those who love God, who God has called, who has called you into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Some of you, and I know this is true just because of the times that it's requested when I officiate at Celebrations of Life, for some people it is Psalm 23. That's their go-to prayer when they need to be aware of their connection with God. For some people, it might be from Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know me. Try me and see if there are any anxious thoughts in me. Is there any offensive way in me? Lead me to the way everlasting. For some people, it's the Lord's Prayer. For some people, it might be St. Francis' prayer. Prayers have special significance to us because they connect us with God, whom we recognize gives our lives the meaning that we have. So whether we pray, Lord, let me be an instrument of your peace, the Lord is my shepherd, our Father who art in heaven, we go to those places to pray for ourselves. And we go to maybe to a similar place, but when we think about praying for others, Paul has given us a model for how we can say prayers of intercession. He asked three things for them, for those other people from God. He asked that they would have power, that they would have love, and that they would know the fullness of God. Paul prays for the church to be strong with that inner power through the Holy Spirit. Paul prays that the church would be strong and those we pray for would be strong where it most matters, and that's deep within our souls. He bypasses some of the strengths that we ask for when praying for ourselves, sometimes for others. But he wants us to know how deep within us does God abide and God gives us strength. Paul prays that we would be rooted and grounded in love, that Christ would be in our hearts, and he names Christ as the standard of giving, self-giving, that we are to imitate. In Christ, that love should continue to grow deeper and deeper. May Christ dwell in your hearts, he prays. And then he prays that we, the church, would be slightly overwhelmed with the fullness of God. How do you contemplate that? How is that imaginable, that we would have the fullness of God? It's given us, and it can empower us to love, to give. It's inviting us to recognize the fullness of God that was Jesus Christ, and with which we can live. And so these, although Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, he was praying for others. We pray these things for ourselves as well. And I try to think of an illustration of what is it that would help us to connect in a deeper way with what Paul is saying. And today, this reading from John is the example that I would use to help us to more deeply understand the love, the power, the fullness that we are offered. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is one of the most well-known stories in Scripture. It's the only story that is in all four of the Gospels, other than the crucifixion. That's in all four also. God asks us to be obedient, to be faithful, to take a risk in sharing what we have so that there is more than enough for those who don't have. Anyone here been to Jerusalem, Israel? Let's all take a trip next year, shall we? I've not been either. On the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, there's a small church. It was built in 1982 by the Benedictine Fathers. It's believed to be the site of this feeding of the 5,000. The reason they believe that this is the site of the feeding of the 5,000 is because as they were, as archaeologists were doing some digging there, they found the remains of two churches that had been there early in the history of our Christian faith. The first one was built in about 350 AD, second one about a century later. And what they found in these remains were mosaics that depicted the feeding of the 5,000. This was an important event to early Christian life. Early in that it showed the magnitude of what Jesus could do. And we know that when Jesus received the bread, he gave thanks for it, and then he gave it to the people. That reminds us of the supper, the meal that he gave for us to remember. The place where Jesus fed the 5,000, the place where Jesus performed this miracle, this is the place that they gathered. People who wanted more. They wanted their lives to mean more than what it had. And this large group of people weren't even sure what it was they were wanting, because, well, the disciples weren't sure what they wanted. You know, honestly, sometimes we're not sure what it is that we want. But those people were following Jesus because they had seen him doing the healing of the people who were brought to him. They'd seen those healings, and so then they wanted to follow and see what else he could do, and then he fed these 5,000, and these people thought that he was a prophet, because prophets could do those kinds of things. And what Jesus wanted his disciples to understand, and what he wants us to understand, is that he's not just a prophet, that he did these things not because he's the Son of God, a lesser of God, but because he was God. And that tells us that God can do these things. They followed him because they were hungry, and they didn't realize that they were hungry for the food of the Spirit. What this teaches us is that whatever we give to God, God will enlarge. Whatever we offer in the name of Jesus, God adds to it and makes it so much more than what we offered. And that's true of us as individuals. And we see that in the church when Emma contributes $1,000 a month to the church budget. Oh, that wasn't you. No. Sorry. I didn't want to point anyone out specifically. I mean, I don't want to say I know how much you offer to the church, so that's why I used you. God doesn't care whether we offer a dollar or offer $1,000. We offer what we have to God to use. And within this congregation, when that all comes together, we're able to do the ministry. We're able to live in this place and in the community in ways that share who Jesus is. God himself. And then we think about the amount that we pay in apportionments to the general church, to the conference, and then through the conference to the general church. We think about that and think of the budgets of those two bodies. And although what we send in seems like a lot to us, what we send in certainly cannot do very much of the ministries through which we go and to where we go. But that comes together with the churches. And God even adds to that what can be done beyond what we can imagine is what this story is about from John's gospel this morning. Feeding 5,000 people. There's explanations. There's, you know, we offer how that happened. But what we see are 5 loaves and 2 fish, and everyone has enough, and there's some left over. And this particular account of the disciples crossing the lake in the evening, it says a wind came up, but this one doesn't give us that feeling of desperation for their lives that the other gospels do. But a wind came up, and within this storm, Jesus came to them. This was so important to the early church because the church was the metaphor, the image for the early church. And they wanted to know that Jesus was in the boat with them. There's a sign, a poster put out, I don't know who, by when I was in college, so a long, long time ago. And it said, it was one person in a small boat, and it said, "Dear Lord, be good to me. The sea is so large and my boat is so small." The boat in which the disciples were moving. And this one wasn't threatened. I mean, their lives weren't threatened. But it was disconcerting. And they needed to know that Jesus was with them. We certainly want to know that Jesus is with us in the church as we talk about what our mission is and what our ministries are. We certainly want Jesus with us in the boat of our lives when we go out from this place. We don't want to be alone. We know that things come up, like in the song, things that we just don't know how to deal with. We need to know that Jesus is with us. The last point about this passage has to do when Jesus came to the disciples on the water and they were frightened. He said, the translation I read, Jesus says, "It is I." But in other translations, it says, "I am. Don't be afraid." And that "I am" takes us back to the mountain when Moses was talking with God. And Moses said, "When I go down, who am I supposed to tell them sent me?" And the voice said, "Tell them I am has sent you." And so in that boat, or on that sea, Jesus was saying to his followers then and now that he is God. He is the person of God who came to live with us as a human being so that we might, as we walk through our lives, say, "Oh yeah, that story of Jesus, that was God. Oh, that was God in their lives." And he can have that power in my life. That is the power of which Paul was speaking. I'm guessing that most of us, if not all of us, have had times in our lives that we were in prayer, or times that God has broken through in a way that silences us or shows us the majesty of God. That's what Paul was talking about with us. God is that big. God is that great. That God is so all over everywhere. And that God is also within. When we're having our tough days, when we have blown it, when we need a redo or a do-over, God allows that. That is the grace of God that Jesus has shown to us, that Paul shared with the Ephesians, and that we live with in our time. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. As God provides bread for us to eat, so God has provided enough for us to share out of our thanksgiving, out of our praise for all that we are given. Let us present our tithes and our offerings to God. Let us pray together. Bless our gifts and bless us with your miraculous love, that our gifts may nurture your creation with abundance and hope. Bless our offerings this day, that all who are hungry may be fed, and all who yearn for love may experience love living in and through us. With thanksgiving and hope, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and would you turn to page 48 in the red hymnal? This is the water through which we become brothers and sisters in Christ, the churches of God, and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of the Christian fellowship and discipline and edification of believers, and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which it alone supplies. Today I'd like to call Lewis Dillon and Jane Dillon to come forward. They are transferring their membership from their church in Virginia to Concordia. And I trust that you are familiar with the water, but I would invite you just to put your hand in the water and touch yourself in some way as a reminder of the covenant that you have made with God through Jesus Christ, and the covenant that we all share with you, and the covenant which you will make with us this day. As members of the United Methodist Church, you come today, you desire to enter into fellowship, the fellowship of this congregation. I present you as a member of this congregation. Will you turn around? And now, do you have that dissertation that you were ready to speak today?
It's only about 30 minutes. We have time for...
I think. And how long is yours? 25. Okay. Well, not a problem for me. But they have made their vows. When they were baptized, when they were confirmed, when you have reaffirmed your faith. And so we recognize those vows and welcome you. There you go. And would you extend your welcome? I know they already have, but let's do it officially. Okay. God bless you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yep. As we come to our time of prayer, we've got this list of people with health concerns, and those concerns continue. Rosemary Mislage, Tony's wife, had additional surgery this week when they had taken the tumor from her breast. It was, the cancer was too close to the edges, so they did some additional surgery. She seems to be doing very well. Dee Engie, we want to, I don't know if he's not on this list because they don't want to be on this list, but we want to continue to pray for him. He's has a torn hamstring, and this week they found he also has a torn ligament in his foot, which is, the foot just wasn't healing as fast as the rest of the leg was, so they have that information now. There's also a request for prayers for former employees of American Girl. 22 people lost their jobs. So we want to pray that they would have strength and support as they seek new employment. Other people or situations? Let us pray. Lord, hear your children praying. We can begin with our thanksgivings to you. for all of the love that you show to us, for the gifts of air and water, of food and clothing and shelter, those necessities of life, which we sometimes take for granted. Hear our praise for the gifts of companionship and community. We give you thanks and ask that you that we would be aware of your presence with us in those moments when we are feeling lonesome, or in moments when we are feeling distant from you, those moments when we need to acknowledge that we have injured somebody, or that we have been injured, for the gifts of mercy, forgiveness, and presence. We give you our praise. This day we pray for the families in our communities, for our own families, for the families in throughout the world, that they would have all that they need, that they will be able to live in harmony and peace. We pray for those families that are now dealing with unemployment because of the insecurity that brings to lives, the extra stresses that it brings to lives, the fears. We pray for this congregation. We pray for churches in this community and in the world, that we might find a way, that we would cooperate with one another, that we would care for the earth and care for those in need, all the time giving you glory. Gracious God, as you used that little boy with two fish and five barley loaves to answer the cries of the hungry, help us to respond as well to the cries of the hungry, to help to use all of the gifts that we each offer because you have power and you are mighty to do more than we can imagine. Hear our prayer for those who are victims of war and violence, for the orphans, for people who are living on the streets, for those whom we sometimes do not see because they are just fragments of the society. May they be gathered up so that no one is lost. For those who are sick, those who are healing, those who are facing the end of their days in this life, we pray that Christ would continue to dwell in their hearts, that they would know they are rooted and grounded in love. When we are caught up in the storms of life, come to us, calm our fears, help us to reach our destinations through the power of your Holy Spirit and in the love of God, the love of Christ. We ask this in our silent prayers, in the name of Jesus our Christ, and we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you now turn to hymn number, in the red hymnal, number 399, Take My Life and Let It Be. With the richness and the fullness of God's grace. May you experience every dimension of the love of Christ. May the Holy Spirit dwell within you through faith. To the Holy One whose power works within us to accomplish more than we can ask or imagine or comprehend, be glory forever and ever. Amen.